Argue, argue, talk, talk, talk. Exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shout, talk. Talk. Why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And welcome, everyone. This is indeed Spouting Off, and this is the last live broadcast of Spouting Off for 2017. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and you are tuned to BBS Radio Station 1. What a wonderful year it's been. A wonderful year of excitement, of opportunities, of all kinds of things, of way too many computer crashes, as Doug will attest. Right before I came on the air, my computer crashed. I love it. But we are back, and I've got everything where I need it to be. How rare is that? You don't get that too often. Anyway, what we're going to do today, and if you're listening live, this is being recorded live as we always do on Tuesday, December 19th. I'll just tell you right now. And you might just hear it at a later date because we're going to do a retrospective. We're going to talk about some stuff that's happened over the year and a little bit of reflection and looking back, which I think is really important because what a blessing it is to do talk radio. At a time when the biggest problem, and I guess I've said this before, is getting overwhelmed with so many fabulous, wonderful stories that are controversial, that are compelling, that you just don't know which thing to talk about first. So I'm going to get going, and I'm going to give you the numbers now. So if you'd like to call in, I probably won't give them again. If you're listening to BBS Radio, you know what the number is. It's 888-627-6008 or direct 323-744-4831. Now, this program will probably be repeated sometime at the very beginning of January. I'll tell you more about that. But if you want to call, you'll be immortalized when this show is repeated. And you know, when shows go out on the internet, on iTunes and all the rest of it, my oh my, they can last, they have lives of their own. So it doesn't really matter if it's recorded. You know it's recorded and you can look back. In fact, that's one of the things we're going to do. You can look back on the predictions that people made last year. You know, people are always happy to make predictions going into the future, and they never, nobody ever really holds them accountable for what they got wrong. So we're going to do that instead of predicting, because I don't know. I mean, there's some things that are kind of easy predictions, but for the most part, they're not. Before I get to that, I want to wish you all a wonderful Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, a Happy Hanukkah. And so the Jewish idea of the New Year, and if you're familiar at all with Jewish customs and holidays, we have a lot of them, is our Jewish New Year, because the Jewish calendar is on the lunar calendar rather than the solar calendar, is in September usually, sometimes at the beginning of October. And when I was in Hebrew school as a kid, and I used to think about, I would wonder, why is it that we have the Day of Atonement after the New Year? Doesn't it make sense that you would have the Day of Atonement, which is the most serious, most important holiday of the year? That's kind of when some Orthodox Jews beat their chest and they very in earnest ask God for forgiveness for all the mistakes and problems and sins that they committed. Think of it kind of like a whole year's worth of confessions in one day. So I once asked a teacher, why do we celebrate the new year and then afterwards we have the Day of Atonement? Wouldn't it make sense to wipe the slate clean by asking forgiveness and then turning around and making a fresh start and celebrating the new year. But being that, you know, we do things backwards, maybe that's why I get being Jewish, because I'm left-handed. And so, as you know, the book goes from right to left and things go backwards. And so this is one of those examples of going backwards and having it make total sense. Did you know that left-handed people are the only people, or usually people who most often can write their name backwards, and then you can look at it in a mirror and it will look perfectly right side up? I think there's something about living life as if you're living it through a mirror. But nonetheless, I digress. The Jewish idea is that you celebrate the new year and that you are thankful for having a God, whatever you conceive God to be accountable to. So you start the year fresh by being held accountable for what you did and then asking God for forgiveness. I don't know. It makes an upside down bit of sense. So there were a lot of wrong predictions in 2017, and I'm going to share just a few of them with you. All right. So CNN.com asked a whole bunch of pundits asked a bunch of questions. There were some I wasn't very interested in, like, you know, who's going to win the Super Bowl in 2017, and I don't much care about that. But when it came to politics, I was interested to see what kind of political predictions people made. The one that I thought was the most interesting is that they asked all the pundits, about half a dozen of them, what they thought the Dow would be in on the last day of 2017. So let's see. Someone, a CNN legal analyst, that gives you an idea of what his agenda is. I mean, CNN, come on. I mean, it's Clinton News Network. Come on. Although S.E. Cupp is in here, and she used to work for Fox News, but nonetheless, we're talking a pretty left-of-center group here. The Dow will hit 19,500, Danny Savalos said, and S.E. Cupp, who I just mentioned. What will be the closing level of the Dow Jones on the last day of 2017? And she said, 20,000, baby. Then someone else, Roxanne Jones, another CNN opinion contributor, said the Dow will break the 20,000 mark before it starts to tumble again. We've got Dean Obadiah, who was incredibly specific, 21,220.12 or 21,220.13. Here's one. Look for the Dow to stay static around 19,000. And then a true Trump hater, for all kinds of reasons, all the answers that he gave, Jeff Yang, another CNN opinion contributor, said, what will the closing level for the Dow Jones on the last day of 2017 be? And he said, can it be negative? You know, it's fascinating. The Trump haters on both sides of the aisle are perfectly happy for everyone else to suffer as long as they can be right about Donald Trump being a terrible president. But as of about 1 o'clock today on December 19th, I checked the Dow, 24,768.70. So we're headed to 25,000 on the Dow. Now, to give you I don't even know how to explain this carefully. We're talking a 20% plus increase in the Dow. There's a reason nobody predicted over 21,000, because it's unheard of. Think of people's retirement accounts. Think of their IRA accounts. Think of the money that has been sitting on the sidelines for 8+ years, waiting for Obama to leave office so they could get back to doing actual business. What we had was a president who was anti-private enterprise, anti-private business. And here you have a Dow 24,768. And that's even before, we hope, the tax bill goes through, which is due to be voted on by the Senate, hopefully this afternoon or this evening. I am watching with bated breath. The House already voted on it. And just to give you an idea, what amount of bureaucratic red tape and garbage has to go through before you get it. And that's by design. Our founders wanted it to be difficult to make laws. They had no idea that we would have such a bunch of wimps in Congress that couldn't even make laws when they were, you know, when they're supposed to agree. But that being said, so the House put forth a bill, then the Senate put forth a different bill, then they had to compromise the bill, and then it has to go back to a vote again. So we're back to the point, and we are waiting with bated breath, that the House voted on the bill. Now it's going to go to the Senate. For a while there, I was worried that John McCain would be the deciding vote, and he has, for the lack of a better term, betrayed us before. But now it doesn't look like John McCain is going to be required for this vote, but they'll have him, hopefully, if they need him. I personally do not trust John McCain as far as I can throw him. So I wish him well, but I wish he would have left Congress long, long ago. So hopefully the end of business today, if you're listening to this on recording, Doug, did we do the Hallelujah chorus? Did I send you that? I don't think I did. I would have to do it myself, but I didn't send him that. But I am waiting for the Hallelujah chorus, because it isn't just the tax bill that I am so, so, so concerned about. It is that individual mandate being repealed of Obamacare. That pretty much kills Obamacare. And I'm going to talk to you about that in just a second. So the other thing I want to mention is I don't trust the Senate either. That's why. And when the Senate votes on the same bill, then they send it to the president for his signature. Now, I want to ask you all listening out there in listener land, who do you trust more to keep their promises? The Senate on returning a tax bill to the President of the United States that he can actually sign, one that the House already voted on? It is looking promising, but you know what? I'm not going to celebrate until I know that the Senate has voted successfully in the affirmative on that bill. Who do you trust more, the Senate to get the job done or Donald Trump to get the job done? If you're saying the Senate, I wish you'd call me so I could debate you. I'm not worried that Donald Trump isn't going to sign this bill. I'm worried the Senate isn't going to send him one. So again, if you're listening on a recording and the bill has been signed, sealed, and delivered, hurrah, hurrah, hallelujah chorus, here we come. And the reason for that is not only because the country needs a tax cut across the board, in my opinion, to free up private business and to take it as much power out of the hands of Washington as is humanly possible. But what is even more important is that the reason those Congress critters are sitting there in Washington is they were sent there to put a stake through the heart of Obamacare. Obamacare was not about health care. It wasn't even about health insurance. It was about massive government control. And when you have the control of people's very lives and their very health, then their hearts and minds will follow. It is very, very, I'm just going to wax religious here for a minute. Obamacare, in my opinion, was, God, I love thinking of it in the past, evil. It's evil. It was the antithesis of everything this country was founded upon. This country was founded on the principle that the government exists to protect your rights and freedoms, not to dictate what you are and are not allowed to do. That individual mandate, by the way, it's going to fall of its own weight if we can get this individual mandate killed. It needs to be killed exactly where it stands. That doesn't mean the entire Obamacare will be repealed. It means that Obamacare cannot exist without it forcing you to buy something in order to redistribute wealth. Now, I was reading an editorial recently in a local paper that was trying to be fair but wasn't, when it said that the individual mandate, people who are proponents of it consider it an incentive. Sorry, guys, it is not an incentive. If you have to use the power and the punishment of government and the IRS to force you, you can't use that and the word incentive in the same breath. It's impossible. So either it's an incentive, meaning that you have a right to say yes or no, or it's a mandatory force by the government. Our founders would be turning over in their grave that any president at any time would have devised a way to sell to the American people that they ought to be forced to buy a product, any product, for the purposes of more government control. It just is unconscionable. So I will be celebrating wherever you are and you listen to this. You just know when I hear that the Senate has sent that bill to President Donald Trump, and I will feel quite confident that he will sign it. I'll be dancing, I'll be singing, and I'll be doing a jig, because it's going to be a great day for America, and I will celebrate. There will be lots to celebrate when that happens. So there's even more to celebrate. I'm in a happy mood. There is even more to celebrate because there are backfires happening again and again and again. Throughout the year, there have been backfires on the hatred, the vitriol, the ugliness, the nastiness that has been thrown towards Donald Trump. Never has anybody with even a modicum of fairness could describe the kind of hatred that has been sent towards Donald Trump to destroy him in every possible way. And here's the really interesting thing. He's winning. He's winning because everything they throw at him is backfiring on them. I just want to go back to something. Something's been bothering me. I have to go back. When I said that it's force and that there's a difference between an incentive and mandatory, I want to direct you to my website that features a slogan that I sort of came up with on my own. I came up with it years ago. If you can't say yeah, if you can't say no, your yes means nothing. If you can't say no, your yes means nothing. Think about it. A lot of freedom is built around the premise that you have free will, that you get to decide whether you want to buy health insurance, whether you're going to carry health insurance, whether you're going to leave your house in the morning, whatever it is. And along with that comes personal responsibility. When the government, especially the United States government, that was designed to protect our natural rights, our God-given rights. I don't care what you conceive God to be. You can be an atheist for all I care. But if you believe that our rights are natural and are not given to us by the government, then you can understand what America is about. Those of us who think that God, the government is God, will always think that they're getting their rights from the government. And I will come back in a moment to the Trump strategies in just a minute. But I want to share with you a soundbite of all the speeches that Donald Trump ever made, or of all the quotes and all the speeches that Donald Trump ever did. This soundbite that I'm about to share with you right now is, without a doubt, proof positive that Donald Trump gets it. Donald Trump understands what this country is about. Donald Trump understands how great and extraordinary and exceptional this country was created to be and has been. And he is hell-bent on returning it to its greatness. And in 1 year, it's extraordinary what he has accomplished. So here's my favorite quote of Donald Trump from 2017. Doug?
And above all else, we know this. In America, we don't worship government. We worship God.
Is that great? I love it. I love it. And you don't have to be a religious person to understand this. What is important, in my opinion, to understand is that socialist governments, which have never, ever, 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 ever worked, no matter how narcissist the people are, who claim that they just haven't done it right and they'll be benevolent dictators, no matter how benevolent the dictator, and my, oh my, there have been some very bloody, horrible, bloody awful dictators. The enemy of socialism has always been accountability to God or accountability to something other than government. So there's reason. I'm getting off on a tangent, but I'm having so much fun, I'm going to do it anyway. There is a reason that Barack Obama was overheard early in his presidency speaking to a left-wing group in San Francisco, and someone has used that line a lot. Maybe he forgot that we're living in an internet age where whoever you're talking about, other people will find out. For example, if you say one thing in Arabic and another thing in English, people will find out what you said, or any other language for that matter. So Barack Obama said, those bitter people clinging to their guns and God. Well, it's not an accident that he said that, because God is a huge enemy of socialism. It's not the religion that they worry about. It's that people that you're trying to control, if they're accountable to a higher power and it ain't you, then you want to do everything and anything you can to put that religion down. It is no accident that my people were having to practice Judaism in Russia in secret. It is no accident that the tyrannical governments of the world, the socialist governments of the world, outlawed religion, and that most of them are atheistic in nature. I'm making a broad generalization there, but what I'm saying is that, and people who are of a religious bent are usually very, very law-abiding and willing to uphold the law. It's just that when it comes to being judged, when it comes to being accountable, they're accountable to God, not to man. And that's critically important. And Trump gets it. I love it. Give it to me one more time, Doug.
And above all else, we know this. In America, we don't worship government. We worship God.
I love it. And that's an important motto to go by. Because Trump is not threatened. Trump's glad that he is deregulating. He is freeing up American creativity and entrepreneurialism and ingenuity. But socialists are always threatened by American creativity and ingenuity, because what happens, what happens then is you get people with varying talents doing various things. And socialists hate that. They want us all to be alike. You know, they love diversity as long as it's race and gender, but they just hate diversity when it comes to talents or ideas or thoughts or words, or they're just not really comfortable with that sort of thing. So I got that off my chest. So now I'm going to move on here to, and I've got a few more minutes before the break, and we're going to move on here to the anti-Trump strategies. This is what I call Trump attack and defense strategies. And so what has the media, the left, the Trump-hating media, the Trump-hating left, and the Trump-hating GOP establishment, what do? They've spent almost a year trying to destroy this man and his family. They focus on non-stories, so they won't have to report on any good ones. I remember I said to you last week that what they have to do, since Trump went to work and showed up all the lazy, corrupt swamp in Washington, he got to work on the very day of the inauguration. So in order to dismiss him, in order to demean him, they had to focus only on the campaign. Have you noticed they only talk about the campaign? They haven't talked about almost anything he's done since January 20th of last year, or of this year, the 2017, unless it was to misinterpret and mischaracterize the bill that they called the Trump travel ban, which was merely designed to make sure that citizens in this country are safe from people who haven't been vetted properly. But to them, that makes you a racist and a xenophobe. So what they do is they have these headlines like, oh, what so-and-so raised eyebrows, leading you to hate him. They demonize those who like him. So they put it out of favor for you to stand up for Donald Trump and say, you know, not only did I vote for him, but I think he's extraordinary in 100 different ways. Now, if Donald Trump has had the courage to stand up to just the most amazing attacks, then I think that if you are a supporter of Donald Trump, you can stand up for him as well. No wonder they want him to stop tweeting, because he fights back. That's where he fights back, is when he's tweeting. And they don't want him to have any connection directly to the American people. That's where he sets the record straight. He reaches through that filter and he talks to the people there. And you can agree or disagree. That's okay. But there's more. They have been trying to decide the narrative. And then it backfires on them. I just want to tell you, the amount of backfiring that has been going on, I don't know, just in, I'd say the end of November, beginning of December, is extraordinary. And you got to ask yourself, how is all this backfiring happening? It sort of reminds me of Superman. Remember Superman, when all the bad guys and even law enforcement, they would shoot their bullets at him and the bullets would bounce off Superman? You always wonder, well, did they get hit by those same bullets? Well, I don't know if Superman did that, but the bullets that they're firing at Donald Trump seem to be hitting them in the face. It's a form of projection, which means that you assume other people have the evil intent that you do. That's a shorthand answer. All of these are not Trump strategies, but just, I'm going to just give you a list of some of the backfiring that's been going on. It may not, God forbid, always be this way, but the pipe bomb in Port Authority, I don't want to make light of it, but it backfired on the bomber. And this is a very significant event, because I don't think that America, the United States of America, has seen a suicide bomber of this sort who straps things to their body. I mean, we obviously saw suicide bombers on 9/11. but walking suicide bombers that Israel deals with and has for decades. This was the first, and it backfired. What about Robert Mueller? Oh, yeah, Robert Mueller. The Mueller investigation. Oh, yeah. So you got Robert Mueller. They just can't find enough corruption, so they have to make it up. They can't believe. Now, this Mueller investigation is a massive topic, and there isn't any way I could do it justice. And so I just am going to give you a couple of quickie highlights. This pun is intentional. They trumped up charges in order to spy on him, on Trump. They trumped up charges in order to smear him. They trumped up charges to reverse the 2016 election. They trumped up charges to take hold of the narrative and to let corrupt media convince the low information voters that Trump is guilty, that he's an evil, terrible, awful, racist, bigot, homophobe, terrible person. They don't care about the truth. They don't care about how bad it is for the country. They just want to slash and burn and reverse the election because they didn't win. The FBI exonerated Hillary before the investigation even started. They fired the guy who was biased because he got caught. He wasn't fired because they wanted an objective investigation. This is the guy struck, by the way. If they wanted that, they would have fired the entire team of the Mueller investigation. So this is a story that's going to go on into ad infinitum, but this is a story that is going to go on into 2018. And while I am not given to making a lot of predictions, I will make this prediction. The fact that the media is jumping up and down, fearful that Donald Trump is going to fire Robert Mueller, the special investigator, is wishful thinking on their part. They wish he would fire Mueller. And the fact is, Trump would be well within his rights to do so, especially since Jeff Sessions doesn't have a spine, apparently. But Donald Trump is not going to fire Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller is hanging out to dry as we speak. You can't hang him out to dry if he's not working there anymore. So Trump wants him exactly where he is because he is entirely compromised. His so-called investigation is entirely compromised. It was trumped up to begin with in order to smear and destroy Trump and hopefully, in their mind, to actually drive Donald Trump from office. And, well, that backfired. So I'm thinking Trump is not going to fire him. But isn't it interesting that all the lefties are jumping up and down? Rahm Emanuel, I think it is. No. It's Eric Holder in California is planning a protest, you know, getting ready to protest something not only is not happening, but would be stupid if it did happen. And already the extremely corrupt Eric Holder is planning on trumping up a bunch of outrage about Trump actually firing Mueller. There's an old phrase, when your enemy is destroying themselves, get out of the way. So that's it on Mueller. But I want to get back to backfire, and I have the prerogative of going on a little longer before we take our break. So, Doug, that's what we're going to do. I'm going to talk about the rest of the backfires. So the Russian collusion backfire. Chris Matthews is now being accused of sexual harassment, along with everybody, including the sister I never had. Everybody is getting accused of sexual harassment, being driven from their careers. That is a subject we've covered a lot on this program, and I suspect we'll be covering it some more. It's fraught with problems, but the people that are getting eaten up by this are 90% Democrats, liberals. Why? Because they were the ones that gave us free love, sex, drugs, rock and roll. If it feels good, do it. Don't have any principles. As long as it's consensual, you can sleep with anyone, even if you don't know their own name. You know, that stuff is going to come back to bite you, or backfire on you. So the guy who had the thrill coming up his leg, Chris Matthews, is now also accused of that. So he's under fire. Backfire, because Chris Matthews has been an outrageous and really weak critic of Donald Trump for the most part. The rigging of the election, you have to go back a year to talk about this. The rigging of the election. There's evidence that it was the Democrats who did that. And yet the Democrats tried to accuse the Republicans of that. Accepting the results of the election is one of my favorites because the day before November 7th, 2017, it was Hillary who was sure she was already measuring the drapes in the White House, in the Oval Office, with whomever her lover is, probably not Bill. And so she was sure that she was going to win. And so she was already complaining. Democrats are wonderful with their senses of entitlement, aren't they? They feel entitled to everything, including the Oval Office, if you're Hillary Clinton. So she was already accusing Donald Trump of saying that he was such a lowlife that he wasn't going to accept the results of the election. Fast forward 11 and a half months, and most of the Democrats, and particularly Hillary Clinton, still hasn't accepted the results of the election. Maybe sometime in 2008 they'll get around to it. I don't know. Lindsey Vonn criticized Trump, had an accident, her career's over. I'm not cheering, but I don't know. There's something magical going on here. The NFL, they think they're going to stick it to Trump. Look at the NFL today. Look at their popularity. Look at the empty chairs in the stands. Look at Donna Brazile, who had the temerity and the courage to talk about that the election was rigged and it was hacked, the name of her book, Hacked. But she was one of the people hacking. She was one of the people cheating. She was one of the people giving Hillary the questions in a debate with Bernie Sanders. So you see, we are doing a little bit of a retrospective here, just going back to the backfires. I mean, I got a 3 hours more material here, but it is really important to talk about the backfires because there's lots to celebrate. I don't celebrate anybody's death or illness, but I most certainly celebrate when political hacks who are more interested in their pocketbook, are more interested in padding their own nest, and are not representing the people's interests are getting found out. They tried to delegitimize Trump, and they have delegitimized themselves. They claim Trump was mentally ill. And guess who's been acting mentally ill for about 11 months? The left has acted insane. They've lost their frickin' minds. They're running around with pink pussy hats. They're dressing up as vaginas. If it weren't so funny, it would be really, really sad. But this is the road we were on. This is the road we were on until a man named Donald Trump decided to turn it around. So I will be celebrating and praying for our President Donald Trump on this New Year's. They came up with the term fake news. That was their term. And now Trump has turned it on its head, and he is now has owned the term, and it applies to CNN. So that's another backfire. The sexual misconduct. Now they're trying to get Al Franken not to step down. If I do say so myself, last week I did make that prediction. I said that if Roy Moore lost the election, they would try to keep what's his name? I've lost his name already. Al Franken. Oh, how soon we forget. But if Roy Moore did win, then Al Franken, his career was over. Now, The left has no shame. So it's not going to surprise me in the least if they try to get the Democrats to push him to stay. Because, you know, they'll try to run him for president. They have no shame. They'll do anything. And all of these sexual abuse cases are different. To lump them all into one big bucket is just collectivist nonsense. It's utterly ridiculous. Lisa Bloom, backfire. Lisa Bloom, the daughter of Gloria Allred. Big giant backfire. It was found out that she's paying upwards of $750,000 to women who will smear and accuse Donald Trump of sexual harassment, even insofar as being asked out on a date. And the woman said no, and he walked away. Yeah, that's sexual harassment. I'm not buying any of it. Ryan Leza, the New Yorker, exposed Weinstein. And he was accused of sexual misconduct. The media lies, omissions, mistakes, all backfire. What I want to get to when we get back from this break, which has been delayed, is how has Trump done it? Does he have a special magic? What's going on that all this is backfiring? Well, I have some thoughts for you, and I'm going to let you in on what I think is going on about that. What is the magic of Donald Trump in this regard? How does he get all these backfires? Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Hadley, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arnn, on the great principle of equality set forth by the Declaration of Independence.
The great Abraham Lincoln described the Constitution as a picture or frame of silver, built to guard or protect an apple of gold. This apple of gold was the Declaration of Independence and its principle of equal rights for all. This principle of equal rights, Lincoln said, clears the path for all, gives hope to all, and by consequence, enterprise and industry to all. There are many today who seek to limit or distort this great principle by employing a distorted definition of equality, an equality of condition or outcome, regardless how people live their lives. This distortion, if generally accepted, will lead to an America less prosperous and less free.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And we're back. This is Spouting Off, the last live program recorded for 2017. You'll be hearing this program one more time at the very beginning of the year, and then I will return live with you on January 9th. So happy New Year. Be safe out there. We have another 15 minutes, and I have another 15 hours of show prep. So we'll just have to save some of it for 2018, and there will be no shortage of things to talk about. But what I really want to make sure I get in here, as well as some thank yous for the year and all the blessings that I've had for the year, is why is it, how is it that Trump does this? How is he so successful? Does he have a magic touch? Is he, you know, he's an unlikely, quote, hero. He's been smeared up one side and down the other. People think, well, is he an evil genius? Is he just lucky? Does he have the Midas touch? Well, I have some thoughts, and it's going to sound so simple to you that you're going to say, oh, come on. But you know what? It will ring true. This, in my opinion, was part of his strategy all along. When he first came down that escalator. Believe it or not, it's as simple as this. Well, let me lead up to it. Americans are getting a dose of reality, not reality TV, but about who's real and who's not. So Donald Trump is a real guy, and he's very comfortable in his own skin. He is perfectly comfortable taking the slings and arrows because he's been in there fighting with the best of them. And he can take the criticism and he can dish it out. He's relatable. He talks in real language. He hasn't been airbrushed, media trained, all the rest of this phoniness that we are fed like pablum. And we have been fed for years. Donald Trump is the un-politician. He has the right values. This is important because if he was all of this and he hated America, well, then I wouldn't be real fond of him. But you know what? He genuinely loves this country. He was born and raised in a time, and I'm just a little bit behind him. I'm not as old as Donald Trump, but I remember the America that Donald Trump grew up in. And it was an America where we held ourselves accountable. It was an America where we were taught the greatness of America, not because it's jingoistic, but because we were taught what made America great. Kids today, and this is an old cliche, are being taught to hate this country. And it's heartbreaking. And little by little, that's turning around. Part of America is the love of competition, that if you lose, it doesn't make you a bad, useless person. It gives you a reason to stand up again and try harder. Competition is part of what makes us great. If you are comfortable in your own skin, you aren't the kind of snowflake that requires that people that you live in a rubber room and that you can't tolerate loss. Loss is a part of life. When I was a social worker, I had to help people through loss. If you can't learn to heal through loss, you're never going to learn. I sound so moralistic here, but doggone it, you're never going to learn how to appreciate all the blessings in life if you've been coddled throughout your life. And socialism coddles you only to get your submission. And then it comes in with an iron fist. And that is the doggone truth. So Donald Trump also values character. I don't care what you say, Donald Trump, excuse me, I'm hitting the microphone, has character. He does have character. You can agree or disagree, but he's the real deal. He actually did build that. So he's a living example that they've been lying to everyone, that America and the American dream really does exist. If you hold yourself accountable, if you're not afraid to lose, if you're If you are willing to put yourself out there and be judged by God and not by men, you can succeed. Boy, I really am moralizing here. But here's the real key to me. And that's that Hollywood, in a nutshell, is all image. We have been fed image, image, image. If it looks a certain way, it must be that way. And Donald Trump is the antidote for phony. For everyone to see, that's his biggest accomplishment, bigger than even the taxes and the deregulation and the getting rid of the TPP, which all are great things, getting us out of the most despicable, dishonest, horrible, getting in bed with our enemies, Iran deal. So now you got like a retrospective of an unbelievably rich year in news this year. It was extraordinary what we saw in this year in news. And of all the things that I think Donald Trump has contributed in this past year, more than anything else, it's that he has shone a light on phony. And they're dropping like flies. Look at the phony that we're getting a glimpse in Hollywood. Hollywood is, for whatever the reason, and we're going to sit and kind of explore this throughout the year, is shining a light on itself. And we can argue about why that is. But what is fascinating is that everything that has been thrown at Donald Trump, Donald Trump threw it right back at them. And what did that accomplish? Well, what that accomplished is we got to see the true colors of these people, these accusers. These accusers, to use an old cliche, were living in a glass house. Well, Matt Lauer was talking about sexual abuse. He was abusing. And this is the emblem of the left. They apply rules to everyone else but themselves. And suddenly comes a man that they hate more than poison itself. And now you can see why, because he's so powerful at exposing the true nature of who these people are. He has exposed them for the phonies that they are. Now, a lot of people get fooled. They make this a huge issue. A lot of people get fooled by the superficiality and the image of Hollywood, of politicians, these are people that have spent their entire lives cultivating an image. And people think they know who the people that you're watching on TV really are. That is something I've made kind of a lifetime study about, the gullibility of people, and who is it that's fooled by these superficial images. They thought that they knew. I mean, the only image I ever knew of Dustin Hoffman, which, by the way, I actually ran into him on a street in New York City one day. I actually literally ran into him. And he glared at me. And now we're finding Dustin Hoffman isn't who you think he is. Tiger Woods isn't who you think he is. Bill Cosby. None of these people are who you think they are, because the reality of a heart and a soul and a person and a mind is something you have to get to through time and through reality. Donald Trump has put himself out there, flaws and all, in order to step up the game and force other people, particularly his accusers, to be judged by reality instead of fantasy. So that is what I want to leave you with, is be a very, very careful discriminator, and I use that word advisedly, of what you're watching, and question everything. If you'd like to get a hold of me in the new year or now, you can reach me at www.karencataline.com. That's spelled K-A-R-E-N-K. Spell your name, Karen. K-A-R-E-N-K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. You can reach me at Facebook or Twitter by that same name. And because it's the end of the year and the last show until I come back to be with you live on January 9th, 2018, I want to thank Doug, my producer. I want to thank BBS Radio, a wonderful network of opportunity and talent. I'd like to give a special shout out to Wiley Fox, who was wonderful the past year, helping us cut commercials and sound bites, and to HW, the guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. I love you. Tune in January 9th or listen to the reports. Oh, yeah. And next week we have a live program, and you're going to get to hear the great Dr. Martina Cartwright, my friend and colleague, who will be with you live next week. So keep spouting off, and I'll see you in 2018. This is Karen Cataline.